It's funny, Mary and I wrestled a lot with me going to camp to be a counselor, because it's a burden. It's a huge burden financially and time, and wears you out. And I'm, you know, no good for 2 or 3 days after I come back, because all the kids are always keeping you up till 2 in the morning, and you have to get up again at 6 a.m. It's like, guys, come on. We're not 12. We're almost 50. So, but it's good. It's neat, like Lori was saying, the Lord will show you lots of things if you let him, if you get quiet, things you need to, that are in your life that you know are there or didn't even know they're there or worried about that was there. Things that I thought were not even part of my life anymore, and I realized, oh, they can still affect me. That's why the Bible, that's why, you know, Paul says, I die daily. You have to die daily. You have to get before God daily and remind yourself who you are. Anyway, hallelujah. I've been reading in Jeremiah, and it's been powerful because it's kind of a heavy book. You know, it's all about, you know, doing, all about Israel doing wrong and Judah doing wrong and them being corrected by God. The neat thing about God is if we want to do our own thing, he'll let us. He doesn't want us to do it, but he'll let us. And it's good for us, because then we go out and we go, oh, I'm going to do my own thing, God. And then when it falls apart, we go, oh, you were right. And it's good to know when your parents are right, you know, because God is our ultimate parent. And I think that's why kids have to do dumb things, so that they realize, oh, my parents were smarter. I should have listened to them. And that's the way we are with God. We do ridiculous things, and then he's like, yeah, I nudged you and said, hey, don't do that. And I was like, yeah, I know, I remember. I'm sorry. You were right. I was wrong. So, it's good. This church is amazing, and I will agree with Lori when she said that this is an intellect. I don't think we're as much of an intellectual church anymore because my father's not here, and he was definitely intellectual. But I want to get to a point where we're listening to the Spirit, and the Spirit leads us, and it's so loud and prevalent and obvious that people walk in and we know right what they need to be prayed for, what they, you know, how the things that need to be broken in their life so that they can be set free. That's how God works. That's his intention. He said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. We're not supposed to be carrying around burdens. And we do, just because it just becomes habit. You know, it's like if you have an illness, and it's not horrible, but you just kind of live with it. It just becomes a habit, and you no longer think about it. You're like, it's just there, and it's a little annoying, but whatever, you just live with it. That's not what God wants for us. He doesn't want us just to live with it. He wants us to be, ultimately it's a distraction, because then you can't hear God, because you have this little annoying thing in the background. It's keeping your full attention from God. I can give most of my attention to God, but there's just something there that's keeping my full attention from God. He has so much for us. And we let the news get in our way. It's funny because one of the things that I, before I left for camp, as I said, I want to cut back or out social media, because, oh man, I love it. Man, what a time waste social media is. You could spend hours arguing with people, and you can justify it by going like, well, one of these days I'm going to reach one of these people, and they're going to find Jesus. Generally, they don't. They may. But you know what? You should ask God. God, should I be on here? Should I be wasting time with this person? Oddly enough, they have AI that goes around and harasses people nowadays. I don't know if you guys know that on social media. They have robots that go around and will start conversations with you, and they're not even real people. So watch out. You don't even know. You may be arguing with a computer who doesn't even care. Sort of a non sequitur. But I know that it's, you know, if you're focused on that, then you're not focused on God, and you can't hear him, and you don't know what he needs you to do for that day. What's cool is I know I see God's hand in everything I do. Like, about a week and a half ago, I had to be up in an attic for 4 or 5 hours. You know, it's been in the high 80s, 90s, and I'm like, I was just dreading it. I was going to have to do a bunch of electrical work, and I didn't want to do it because it was going to be hot. And I even got there late. I had planned up. I got early, and I was going to get there around 8 a.m., and everything was going to be fine. I was going to work in the cool of the day, and everything fell apart, and I didn't get there till 11. I'm like, it's going to be the heat of the day, and I'm going to be up in this attic. And you know what God did for me? He covered the entire sky with clouds. That's God. He's awesome. He knew I was going to be in that attic, and he clouded the whole sky, and it was cloudy the whole time I was up there, and as soon as I got down, the clouds went away. That's because God loves me. And he loves you guys, too, just the same way. I love it when he shows me. I gave my testimony there at camp about, because the main leader asked me to, he touched my life in a way when I was in high school as a teenager. He was a teenager, I was a teenager, and he'd said something that set me free. And he's like, can you give my testimony, or can you tell us, you know, can you introduce me and say this little cool thing that I did? I was like, only if you give me about 7 minutes. He's like, you need 7 minutes? I'm like, yeah, well, I need more than that, but I'll try to keep it to 7 minutes. He goes, but I was going through everything I've seen in my life of how God directed things in my life. And the thing is all of your lives are the same way. God has just shown me. He goes, hey, you see that? I did that so that this would happen, so that this would happen, so that this would happen, so you'd meet this person, so that this would happen. And I just see it. And your lives are the same way. God has done that for you. You just may not have seen it. All the good things and all the bad things that happen in our life, it's what makes us who we are and allows us to lift people up, to help them through their stuff. But like Lori was saying, we have to get the junk out of our life. If we're still dealing with it, it's very hard to be a witness to someone if you're still dealing with the same thing. You can commiserate with them. Yeah, that's horrible. But you can't help them out of it because you're still in it. And it's good. It's good to be humble and go, yeah. I mean, one of the things that I saw this last week was I didn't think I have a little bit of judgmental streak in me. Man, I did not think that at all. And I told Mary, and she goes, yeah, you do. And I was like, you're supposed to be my helpmate. She just added on. It's good. It's good. That's what helpmates are supposed to do. They're supposed to send you to God. It was good, because I thought there was a man there. And, he was kind of an unassuming guy, and I didn't think much of him. And I thought, he's just here watching some kids. Boy, he opened his mouth and just some powerful things came out of his mouth. And I'm like, well, I'm an idiot. God, forgive me for assuming there wasn't much to this guy. Because he was kind of nerdy and unassuming, just kind of quiet. And same thing, another guy, he was a worship leader. And he's good. He's just quiet. And all of a sudden, he just started, opened his mouth and said, God gave me this word for you. And God gave me this word for you. And you're just like, wow, I just did not see that coming. It's like you never know what God's going to do through someone. So don't ever assume. God can use anybody. I mean, I know a couple weeks ago that people were all up about the fella in South Lake. And I always think, when things like that happen, I always think, well, God can talk through a donkey. They're like, everything he said is, you have to throw it out. I'm like, well, God talks through a donkey. God can use people that are sinners. God uses people that are sinners every day. I'm saying, anything he said, you probably have to take to God and go, is that accurate? Ask God, but I mean, the problem is if you were bothered by that, it's because that man was important and not God. If you don't expect a man like that to have problems with a church that big, I can't even imagine, having that kind of power and responsibility and not messing it up. Because you would begin to think yourself as a big deal, and I would easily do that. I think, man, look at, I have 20,000 members, and I have money in the bank out the wazoo. This is a God thing. I mean, you'd think that. God is in this. And then you'd get a big head, and you think you could do anything, and you think you're invincible. Because that's how we're wired. That's why you got, every day, you got to get in front of it. God, keep me humble. Keep me from being proud. Keep me from being, because it was funny that I had this thought a few years ago. There was a young gal who came. It was Joyce's granddaughter, and she does not, I don't know if she's completely blind or doesn't see hardly at all. I thought, man, wouldn't it be powerful if she were in here and she were healed and she could see. And then this fear jumped on me and said, yeah, but then this church would become huge and there'd be lots of people and then it would just snowball. And I thought that would be horrible because then it would become polluted with all sorts of stuff and you couldn't control it. I don't know where that thought came from, but that was my fear. And the Bible says to take thoughts captive. You got to take that to, Lord, is that what you want? Do you want this church to be huge? Do you want this church to be small? Numbers are not important. I don't care. Like my dad would say, if there's one person here, I'll show up and preach. What's important is people getting to know God, people getting the junk out of their life. Jesus said, you know, when Jesus rebukes us, it's always gentle. That's the way Jesus does it. Just, hey, you know, that was kind of foolish. Sometimes he's loud because he's trying to get your attention. I have to do that with Gabby. I have to tell Gabby like 4 or 5 times because she's just off in her own world. And I think it's great, and I don't want to dissuade that, but I'm wanting to keep her safe. So I gradually get louder and louder. Now I'm just loud right off the bat. So, but I'm going to read in Jeremiah today, chapter 42. It's powerful. I always think it's funny when people say though I won't be doing this anymore. Mary asked me specifically, don't get on Facebook and argue with people anymore. Excuse me. As people would say, I've read the whole Bible. And you're like, I know you haven't read the whole Bible because I love God with all my heart, and it's hard to get through the entire Bible. There's no way you've read it. There's some parts that you don't want to read. But then when you do, you get into it, and you go, God, show me something. And you say, wow, you're in every word of this Bible. It's all important. Every word of this Bible is important. Even when they're doing all the names. And then you go through, you know, Kings and Chronicles, and you're like, wait a minute, I already read this. Didn't I read this already? And you realize it's just a repetition of the same thing. But it's all important, every ounce of it. Oh, sorry. So Jeremiah chapter 42. Then all the captains of the forces and Johanan, the son of Kerah, and Jezaniah, the son of Hoshiah, and all the people from the least unto the greatest came near and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let we beseech thee that our supplication be accepted before thee and pray for us unto thy God. I thought that was interesting that they didn't say our God. They said thy God. So it's like they know they messed up. So they're like, hey, go before your God. And even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us. And that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the things that we may do. And that's what we need to be asking God. God, but we don't need a prophet. We have, remember, because now Jesus came and Jesus sent the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is in us. We can go directly to the Holy Spirit and say, what does the Father want me to do? Jesus said, I only do and say what I see the Father doing and saying. So that's good. And then Jesus also said, these things that I do, greater things than these are you going to do. Whoa. Yeah, but I mean, it's not us personally. It's Jesus in us doing it. It's the Holy Spirit in us doing it. I am in you to will and to do, he said. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words, and it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you, and I will keep nothing back from you. That's good. This week I went to a class on prophetic words because that's not something I do. And it was good. It was good. The Lord, I sat down and I prayed over all my kids. I was like, Lord, give me a word for each of these kids. And then he did. And I wrote them down. And I didn't say anything to him. I just didn't have the chance to say anything to him. And then we'd be in another meeting. And somebody else would stand up and they'd say something over the kids. And I'd be like, holy mackerel, that is the word that you gave me for that child. That's good. I mean, that's confirmation that God talks. He talks to anybody. He'll talk to me, so he'll talk to anybody. But you just got to ask, hey, God. Because he would show me, sometimes he'd show me a picture, and then I'd ask, God, what does that picture mean? And then sometimes he'd give you a word or a sentence or a phrase. God loves everybody, and he wants everybody to know him. And sometimes we are in a place where we can't hear for ourselves, and we need somebody to give us a word so that we can break down some of those barriers. Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord, be true and faithful witness between us, if we do not, even according to all the things which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whatever it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us, excuse me, when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. Boy, that's something to say. I don't know if I'd be so bold. Probably because I had the whole Bible showing that anytime somebody said, whatever God tells us to do, we're going to do it. And they don't always mess up. They always mess up. Every time they mess up, it's like, God in me, I will do that. That's the awesome thing, is with God in me, I can do that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it came to pass, God doesn't want anything to do, he doesn't want us to do anything without him. The problem is we're always trying to do stuff without him. And it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And then he called Yohanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all the people from the least even to the greatest. Everybody was there. The least even to the greatest. Because everybody wants to hear from God. It doesn't matter where you are. And said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me to present you your supplication before him. Whew. Hallelujah. If ye will still abide in this land, then I will build you, and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from this hand. And I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy unto you and cause you to return to your own land. But right now they're in a bunch of turmoil. And they're like, God, what do we do? Everything's falling apart. God's saying, hey, am I God? That's the one thing I think is so interesting about Israel today. They're always, I know I've said this a million times, it's like, who's your God? Do you not have the God of the universe as your God? You do. So why are you always worried about people? Well, they hate us. Like, who cares? Let them hate you. Let them show you, let you show them who God is. They'll be afeared. Remember the people of Jericho laughed. And then the people of Ai saw what happened to Jericho, and they're like, whoa, we don't want to mess with that guy. But of course that one guy sinned. And they were like, woo, we won. And then they didn't, because God cleaned house. And then they came back and they took down the city. When the world sees the power of God through a little tiny nation, through people who seem unassuming, they're afraid. They're like, wow, if God can use that little guy, I better watch out. And our prayer is not that they watch out, but that they give their lives to God, like Rahab. She's like, I saw what you did. I saw what you did. I know what you guys can do. I think I'm into your God and not my own. But if ye say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying no, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there we will dwell. So they, instead of staying where they were at, where there was troubles, they're like, man, we could just go next door. Egypt's right next door. You know, we've been there before. Remember, we miss our leeks and onions. There'll be peace. Nobody's going to be chasing us. And now, therefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if ye wholly set your faces to enter into Egypt and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine whereof you were afraid shall follow close after you in Egypt, and there ye shall die. So God is saying, hey, stay here in the fire with me. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They went through the fire. And not only were they not harmed, their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. I love that that's in the Bible. Their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. That's the worst. That's probably one of my two least favorite things about camping, is the smelling of smoke on your clothes forever and sleeping on the ground. I hate those two things, which is pretty much camping. But man, their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. Wow. But remember, the king said, hey, you bow, or we're going to throw you in the fire. And they said, we fear our God more than you. And there's a book. Actually, it's a sermon that was written by, or a sermon that was done by Watchman Nee, and it's called Spiritual Authority. And it says, we're not to protect ourselves. We're just to do what God tells us. If the enemy falls on me and takes me out, so be it. If I'm doing what God tells me to do, I have no idea. I mean, the people in the Alamo had no idea that them giving their lives like that would allow us to live in a state like this where we could worship God. No idea. We don't know how God's going to use us. Remember, this world is temporary. This is not even our home. This is not our home. So we're always worried about saving this body. It's like this body, if this body's falling apart, I'm almost 50. And man, I'm like, man, if this is what's happening to me at 50, whoo, I'm going to be falling apart by 60 or 70. It's okay. This is not my home. I'm just passing through. We are born from above. It doesn't matter how much I'm falling apart. I'm going to give glory to God. I'm going to spread his word. I'm going to teach his gospel. So the problem with America is we're always looking for comfort and ease, which, I mean, that's great. It's nice. I love air conditioning. I love having a car, not have to ride a wagon or walk somewhere. That's great. And God uses conveniences, like he used the roads in Rome. Rome created all those roads, and God used those convenient roads to spread his gospel everywhere. So it's not that these things are bad. It's just that when we get comfortable, we don't need God so much. You know, we don't need a fig tree to sit under. We can just turn on our air conditioner. You know. So shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn, whether they shall die by the sword, by famine, or pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from evil that I will bring unto them. So God's saying, don't get out of the fire, just stay in the fire with me, and I'll protect you, I will provide for you, and you know, the glory will be astounding. And it's good. So don't get out of the fire. Let your husband spout all sorts of garbage. Just laugh and go, "Woohoo! God's in control." And he's going to do something awesome out of that. I'm telling you right now, he's going to do something awesome out of that. So you be waiting for that. Man, it's okay. It's just flesh. He's just, his flesh is coming out. My dad would say his snake was coming out. It's okay. You love him. God loves him. Politics are pointless. So what matters is his soul. And that's what we're going to save. Well, Jesus is going to save it. But that's why we're praying. We're praying that he comes to Jesus. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as mine anger and my fury hath been poured forth upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my fury be poured forth upon you. When you shall enter into Egypt, ye shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach, and they shall see this, and they shall see this place no more. The Lord hath said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Now certainly that I have admonished you this day, for ye disassemble in your hearts when ye sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according to all that the Lord our God shall say to thee, and so declare it to us, and we will do it. Now I have this day declared it to you, but ye have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for which he hath sent me unto you. So it's good. They didn't do it. It's okay. You know, we get to see what happens. The whole Bible is a book. It's a love letter, first of all, to us. It's also a life manual. We always see that the people that do God's will are always blessed, and the people that don't doesn't usually fare so well. Some of it's spiritual and some of it's practical. God does a lot of practical things. He's always trying to, it's like a parent. A parent tells a child not to run into the street, not because they're trying to keep the child from having fun, but because they know practically it's dangerous. But sometimes it's spiritual. It's like, just obey me. Just do what I tell you. And it's hard. I can think of two or three times in my life when God has told me to do something and I did not do it. I mean, I heard him loud and clear, and I did not do it. And we're not supposed to have regret, but those are things that I go look back and go, I wish I had listened to you, God. I don't know. I don't even know the outcome, what would have happened. I don't know if you see somebody else to do what I was supposed to do, but I'm sorry. But you know what? What you do is you take that and you go, next time you talk to me loud and clear like that, God, I will do what you say, no matter if I look like an idiot or foolish or, you know, whatever, I'll do it. And that's good. That's what God just wants us to slowly die to ourselves. I mean, the faster we die, the more useful we become. It's good to be dead to yourself. And that's hard. It's hard. When I went to camp, I wanted to sing. I wanted to sing so loud, and I wanted people to hear me. Woo! God gave me a beautiful voice. Hear me. And he took it away. Thank you, Jesus, that he took it away. And I had to keep my mouth shut, just like Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah. Couldn't talk, because God was keeping him quiet. Just be quiet. Sometimes we need to do that. I have a hard time being quiet. It runs in my family. My grandma Betty, she could talk your ear off. My dad, he was a talker. He'd preach for 2.5 hours. Good. It's good. Sometimes God tells us to work in things that aren't our gifts because he wants to grow us up in other ways. Because we pigeonhole ourselves. You're like, this is what I'm good at and this is what I do. And God's like, no, just be quiet and let me talk to you. I have other things for you to do. I have other things for you to say. I have other... So... this church may be small, but it is mighty. Every one of you here loves God, or else you wouldn't be here, because there's nothing here but God. It's an old, ugly building and with a beautiful landscape. But what makes this beautiful building is the people that are in it. So, God sees your heart. There's a lot of people look on the outward, but what God's interested is here, what's in your heart. And that's love for Him. What I said the other night when I was giving my testimony was my dad taught me two things. He taught me lots of things, but the two things is God loves me just as I am. And then people go, well, but yeah, but you need to clean up. But that's not important, because He also taught me the good work that He began in me, He will surely complete it. That's awesome. So God loves you as you are, where you are, in the state you're in. And then He said, don't worry about it. I'm gonna make you that spotless bride that has no wrinkles and spots on her dress, so that when we get married one day, you're going to be perfect. He declares over us all the time, you are righteous, you are holy, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. I think it was Psalm 139. I'm going to see if I can find it real quick. That's the chapter that says I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. But down in verse 16 it says, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. Meaning, I wasn't born yet. You saw me before I was not born yet. And in thy book all my members were written. You knew who I was and what I was going to be like before I was even born, from the beginning of time. Which was in continuance, were fashioned, and when as of yet there was none of them. So I wasn't born yet, and you knew me. You knew my parts. You knew all the freckles I was going to have on me, all the hairs on my head, you know, everything about me. And this is the great part. Here we go. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. So His thoughts towards us, you have to understand how precious you are to God and how precious every person on this earth is to God. You know, Gabby says some funny things. She's like, how big is God? I say, He's pretty big. Is He bigger than you? Yeah, He's bigger than me. Is He bigger than the car? Yeah, He's bigger than the car. Is He bigger than that building? Yeah, He's bigger than that building. Is He bigger than the sky? I said, yeah, I'm pretty sure He's bigger than the sky. She's like, He's bigger than the sky? I'm like, God's pretty big. He says He has the whole world in the palm of His hand. That's pretty big. So I love the way her brain works. She hates the devil. She goes, you're not allowed to call anybody stupid but the devil. You can call the devil stupid. I love that. Best thing you can do in your life is raise up your children to love the Lord. We're going to mess up. Mary and I mess up all the time. We're like, I shouldn't have done that. But you know what? Gabby loves God. We may not raise her perfectly, but she loves God. And that's what matters. And that's why any person you come encounter with, they should see you and go, what is different about you? This heat, you're not complaining about this heat. You're like, yeah, well, God created it. It just tells me that I don't want to go to hell. If Texas is this hot, I don't even want to be close to hell. So, God is good. if you have something you need in your life that's bothering you, something that you're embarrassed about or whatever, and you need prayer for it, come to me, find me. You don't even have to do it here. Call me on the phone. I'll pray about it. If I have something, I'll come to you, because I'm not perfect. God's not done with me. I always thought, well, don't get perfect yet, because then he'll take you home, and I'm not ready to go home. There's no problem. I'm not going to be perfect till God's done with me. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Every day is a new day. Every day is a day we can fall in love with you more and more and more. Thank you for the gift of your word. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit who lives in us. Thank you for each and every person here. Let all their conversation be edifying to one another. And let them be that salt and light that you have created them to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Monty, can you close us in the benediction?